Welcome to Notes from the Electronic Cottage. I'm Jim Campbell. Just when we thought it was safe to move on from the huge distributed denial of service attacks that recently took place on a couple of websites, another attack took place on Friday, October 21st, that was so huge it actually slowed down the internet itself. A distributed denial of service attack, as we've mentioned on previous programs, basically uses unprotected devices connected to the internet to send millions and millions of fake requests to a particular website and essentially overwhelms the site's servers so they can't respond to real requests from real users. In the most recent case, the attack was on a New Hampshire-based company called DYN, pronounced Dyne. This company operates domain name servers, abbreviated DNS, which translate the language-based URL addresses that we put into a web browser, say weru.org, into the actual numbers associated with that address that machines on the web can understand, and then sends our request on its way. This happens so fast, we don't even notice it. Unless, of course, those DNS servers are being flooded with phony requests for phony domain names, which means that our requests get stuck in a long line before the translation from language, the URL, into the proper number address can be sent on its way. And last Friday, the internet actually slowed down a lot, especially on the East Coast. This attack drafted an estimated 500,000 web-connected devices, mainly, it seems at this point anyway, routers in people's homes and personal security cameras that people use to check if their house is okay while they're away. Other web-connected devices were probably involved as well, but these two were probably the main ones used in this attack, and the owners probably knew nothing about it. We've talked about securing the web-connected devices in our homes on previous programs. For now, just a reminder that there are two key things to do. Turn off the web control connection on any device in your house, and change the sign-in name and password that came with the device from the manufacturer. If we all did that, these attacks would have the legs cut right out from under them. No one knows who actually generated the October 21st attack, nor what the purpose was beyond showing that they could do it. But if we don't all tend to our own devices, this kind of thing that can bring the internet to its knees will happen again. Of course, the only big news these days is not just about distributed denial of service attacks. There's also an election going on, a pretty nasty one. And the internet is playing a major role in the information being circulated about candidates. And a significant portion of that information is not being generated by live human beings. Instead, social bots are generating a huge percentage of the tweets on Twitter that favor one major party candidate or the other. A word about social bots. We've mentioned on earlier programs that software robots, commonly called bots, are part of our lives today. They're the things we talk to when we first call customer service, for example. They're quite good at understanding at least basic human questions and even at composing understandable answers. They're widely used on Twitter. Back in 2014, Twitter estimated that 8% of its total traffic was generated by bots. And that seems even more true during this election campaign. A group of researchers from Oxford University's Project on Computational Propaganda monitored Twitter traffic after the first presidential debate on September 25, 2016. They wrote a report entitled, quote, "Bots and Automation Over Twitter During the First U.S. Presidential Debate," end quote. Here's the abstract from that report, quote, "Bots are social media accounts that automate interaction with other users, and political bots have been particularly active on public policy issues, political crises, and elections. We collected data on bot activity using the major hashtags related to the U.S. presidential debate. In this brief analysis, we find that 1. Twitter traffic on pro-Trump hashtags was roughly double that of pro-Clinton hashtags. 2. About one-third of the pro-Trump Twitter traffic was driven by bots and highly automated accounts, compared to one-fifth of the pro-Clinton Twitter traffic. 3. The significant rise of Twitter traffic around debate time is mostly from real users who generate original tweets using the more neutral hashtags. In short, Twitter is much more actively pro-Trump than pro-Clinton, and more of the pro-Trump Twitter traffic is driven by bots. But a significant number of human users still use Twitter for relatively neutral political expression in critical moments. End quote. Let's take a moment to digest that paragraph. We're talking here about 4.5 million political tweets favoring Trump in this study. About a third of that pro-Trump Twitter traffic was driven by bots and highly automated accounts. In other words, machine-driven traffic accounted for about 1.75 million out of 4.5 million tweets favoring Trump. Clinton's bot traffic was smaller and included a bit over 600,000 bot-driven messages, representing about 19% of bots favoring Clinton. Bear in mind that most actual humans who were reading these messages probably had no idea that they were being composed and posted by software bots. Those who took the number of tweets as an indication of how the world felt about the candidates after the debate were probably pretty seriously fooled. And that is precisely why the Oxford Group is called the Project on Computational Propaganda. Their website, by the way, is located at www.politicalbots.org. The Merriam-Webster Dictionary offers this simple definition of propaganda. Quote, ideas or statements that are often false or exaggerated and that are spread in order to help a cause, a political leader, a government, etc. End quote. That sure sounds like what these researchers discovered right after the first presidential debate, and undoubtedly what is continuing throughout this campaign. So, as we ponder the opinions about candidates or issues on Twitter, or on social media in general this election season, let's keep in mind that there's a very real possibility those opinions were written by a machine that wouldn't know a candidate from a hole in the wall. Bottom line today, change passwords and disconnect your routers and home security cameras and other web-based devices from the web, and read with well-found skepticism pro or con candidate opinions on social media this election season. And we'll do the same on future editions of Notes from the Electronic Cottage.